Now, I've got a very brief message, a birthday message. Are you ready for it, everybody? And we're going to be reading from Psalm 133. I've got it on the passages. I've got it on the screen. So you'll be able to look at it at the screen. But can we just all stand together and we're going to read Psalm 133. We'll crank it up there. And that would be great. It's on its way. And if you could read it with me. And we're going to be reading from the Message version. So could you read with me, please? How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. Let's just stop. Let's just read that first line again. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands a blessing, ordains eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. First line says, how wonderful, how beautiful when get along or live in harmony or unity, some versions say. Now, brothers and sisters are of the same family, same tribe. And people who have decided to follow Jesus Christ have also become brothers and sisters. And so we've become part of the same family and tribe. We're all in God's family. We belong to God's holy tribe. We are a community of believers where God is our Father. Amen. Therefore, if you are a follower of Jesus, then that makes you my family. I can see that's really gripped you. Just thank you for the, you know. I have my natural family, and I'll be meeting with them tomorrow with my mum. You know, my mum's got dementia, and we always meet together on a Monday with my mother. And it's a precious time meeting with my natural family. And I love my family deeply. We get on well. But also, I have my spiritual family made up of followers of Jesus Christ. So you are my brothers, and you are my sisters. I am your brother. Just let it sink in. That just seems to... We've got other stuff here. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And whether you like me or not, tough luck. We're together in this glorious thing called the kingdom of God. And when you get to heaven, you might be able to run, but you won't be able to hide from me. Amen. I will have a coffee with you in heaven. Amen. And this psalm declares how wonderful and how beautiful it is when those brothers and sisters get along and live in harmony. And that's referring to God's people all around the world. And so today we could reword this psalm to say how wonderful and how beautiful it is when Christian people choose to get along and live in harmony. Wouldn't it be great if Christians got along? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Sadly, it doesn't always happen. I've been in environments, and it's certainly not this environment. This is a wonderful church. But I'm just reminding us about these things. I've been in environments where the Christians are not getting along, where they bicker and gossip. Boy, I hate gossip. And it's just horrible, and it's appalling. And such behavior is a very poor advertisement for Jesus and reflects, you know, spiritual immaturity. Anybody agree with me? Yeah. I know we all feel that way. And like you, I'd rather be in an environment where we come together in unity, respecting one another, even when we're different, and we respect each other, and we come together in unity because we're God's family. Now, this psalm gives us two illustrations in order to depict how wonderful and meaningful it is when brothers and sisters get along. There was two images, word pictures there. Firstly, it says, unity and harmony is like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. Now that image there is not immediately inspiring, is it? To our modern mind, beards and Aarons. And you know, if you're not familiar with who Aaron was, it doesn't inspire you. But what it is saying that that harmony between God's people has the same effect as a special anointing oil that was poured out on the Old Testament priests. And Aaron was an Old Testament priest. This anointing oil refreshed the old priest as it ran over his head, down onto his beard, and even onto his clothes and down to the bottom of his robe. And the anointing oil, everybody, was made up of olive oil and four of the best spices. And that oil that was poured out upon the old priest represented the abundance of God's grace. The abundance of God's generous grace. That's what it represented. So this is a beautiful image. And every good thing that comes into our lives as followers of Jesus comes by the grace of God. We haven't earned it. We haven't deserved it. But God gives us blessings anyway. Somebody called it amazing grace. What a wonderful picture this is. So, do you want to keep walking under the grace of God? Well, the answer has to be yes. Well then, practice the discipline, and it is a discipline, practice the discipline of getting along with other believers. What is grace? Well, a great way to remember what grace means is to use this anagram. Many of you are familiar with it. Grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. When we choose to get along with each other, then God opens the door to his abundant and wonderful, refreshing, amazing grace. Praise the Lord! Amen. The second illustration of Psalm says, unity or harmony, getting along, is like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Mount Zion. What does this illustration mean? Mount Hermon is actually today located in Syria. Mount Hermon is located north of Israel and has copious amounts of dew upon its slopes. And consequently, it's very fertile and it's always fruitful, Mount Hermon is. But Mount Zion is in contrast to this. Mount Zion is located south of Mount Hermon and it's actually the location of Old Jerusalem. And Mount Zion is mostly dry. Sometimes we get dry in our souls. Actually, I'll be honest with you, I started 2019 feeling rather dry. Thank God for the time of prayer and fasting that we've had. Amen. But it happens to everybody. We can become dry in our souls. Yet when Mount Zion gets a good downpour of rain, the ground suddenly produces an incredible abundance of good crops. It becomes like Mount Hermon. It is as if the dew on Mount Hermon and its life power has been poured out on dry Mount Zion. And the point is this, is that when we intentionally make the effort to get along with each other, and when we choose, because it always is a choice, when we choose to be in unity, then the rains of the Holy Spirit come with life power upon us, thus bringing an end to the dryness and barrenness in our lives, and we become fruitful people. That is the power of authentic unity. Unity and harmony and the effort to get along with other followers of Jesus will often achieve far more than prayer alone. You can do all the praying that you want, but if you have discord, if you have unforgiveness, if you have bitterness, and if you have anger between yourself and another Christian, then God's not going to be hearing your prayers. When we choose to get along, when we choose to care about one another, when we are quick to forgive, then the windows of heaven will open and God will pour out more grace and he will send the rains of the Holy Spirit to make us more fruitful. Psalm 133, that's what it's all about. Then finally it says this, yes, that's where God commands the blessing ordains eternal life. God is ready to command blessing. Isn't that a great command? Lord, command your blessing upon me. Lord, command your blessing upon Real Life Church. He says God is ready to command blessing upon the people of God when they choose to get along. And who's noticed? It's not always easy to get along. Sometimes we don't feel like getting along. Sometimes you just want to smack somebody, don't you? Can I hit this person and still be a Christian? It's not always easy. Just want to make a few statements and we might flesh these out another time. But as Christians, unless we're all mature Christians do not follow their emotions. That's what babies do. We don't allow our emotions to lead us in our choices that we make. Some people say, there's a lot in our society, they say, you've got to get in touch with your emotions. You know what I really hate is when people say to me, you've got to get in touch with your feminine side. Why? Why? I've got a feminine side just over there. Amen. Anyway, moving right along. But some people say, you've got to get in touch with your emotions. And like, this is my response to that. You might not like it, but it's our birthday and I don't really care. Why would I want to get in touch with my emotions? Seriously, my emotions will lead me astray. They're not trustworthy. My emotions will hold onto offense. My emotions want to hold onto unforgiveness. My emotions will demand that they be pampered. My emotions will destroy me if they're leading me. I don't want to get in touch with my emotions. Don't ask me to do that. I want to get in touch with God's Word. I want to get in touch with Jesus. And then I can tell my emotions where we're going. And we're going into unity and getting along. The word blessing in this passage means prosperity. And it's way more than financial prosperity. God's prosperity percolates through a person's whole life. So grace, fruitfulness, and prosperity come when we all choose to get along. Amen? Can we give the Lord a hand? Come on. God is good. See how there's blessing here in the Word of God for us today. So authentic unity is important to God, and so it should be important to us. So just want to clarify some things. It doesn't mean that we have to be all the same and have to agree all the time about subjects. I think diversity of opinion is actually very, very healthy. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't address issues. Don't sweep things under the carpet. Let's address them. It doesn't mean, too, that if we're in unity, that we have to smother each other. Don't be in my face all the time. And it doesn't mean you have to give everybody a hug. Some people really don't like hugs. And we all would be better if we could read each other's body language. Amen. You know, you just got to read it. Is that person moving in for a hug or a kiss on the cheek? You know, just, you know. But what it does mean is that we respect each other and actually care for each other as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, we've just had new signage, and probably nobody noticed it, on the outside of our church building, on the fascia there. Look at it as you go. But the best signage that we can have for Real Life Church is a signage of love hanging over our hearts. Jesus said, the world will know you are my disciples if you have love. That's our sign. That's our signage. That's our signage. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, I've got a couple of left therefores. I urge you to always look for the good in other Christians. Amen. You might have to look hard, and I promise you that it is there, but look for the good in other Christians. Amen. I also urge you to pay attention to the plank in your own eye rather than the splinters in other people's eyes. Be quick to forgive. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but you know when you're on a talking roll, that happens to me a lot, I'm saying things. Sometimes I say such dumb things. I'm so appreciative when people forgive me when I say dumb things.
You know, we all say, anybody say dumb things? You know when you've said it, you can't suck it back into your mouth. You'd like to go, it's out there. It's out there. So, you know, be quick to forgive. Remember, other Christians have issues just like you do as well. So give them space if they're not themselves today. Don't be touchy. Don't be oversensitive. And please, I'm going to do a sermon on this one day. Please don't be moody. We don't do moody here. Amen. We don't do moody. The world doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around Jesus Christ. Us together. Let's pray for one another. For we want more grace and we want more fruitfulness, don't we? And we desperately need the blessing of God. If you want God to bless you, then you be a blessing to others. Amen. I've kind of nearly finished. Just another therefore. Nearly finished, sort of. I also urge us all to rally around in authentic unity to the call of God upon this church, upon our church. This church actually has a call from Almighty God. We have a purpose. Our church has a divine mandate from God, and it's becoming more and more obvious. And this is the big purpose. That's the title of the message, by the way, big purpose, because I wanted to get the word big in there. Amen. This is a big purpose which requires our unity in order for it to be filled. And here it is. Our purpose is to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus that they might become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why we're here. That's actually worth memorizing. And I just encourage you not to forget that. And it's going to be in the newsletter and has been for the last few weeks. That passage or that big purpose is based upon two key scriptures. Matthew 22 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your and with all your soul and all your mind. Yeah. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Then the next scripture says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized and will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Just want to finish right now with just three quick comments concerning our divine purpose that we've got on the screen and its connection to you, to me. First comment. We must be convinced by the truth of this big purpose. We must be convinced that everyone needs the life-giving message of Jesus Christ and to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We need to be convinced by this because there is no other way for anybody in the world to know God. So our big purpose is compelling and it is urgent. In addition, being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ is the best life. Following Jesus wholeheartedly is your perfect fit, whoever you are. It's what you were designed for. And any other kind of life other than this is utterly mediocre at best. Second comment is we're also very different. I mean, look at our faces. We're all different. We have different personalities. We have different backgrounds and experiences. We have different interests. Fritz likes fishing. Ian Cook likes fishing. I can't stand it. Just saying that word brings up scars from the past. We have different abilities. We have different capacities. And then in addition to being different, we also have different contexts in which we do life. Some of you are studying. Some of you are working. Others are volunteering. Some of you live on your own. Some of you live with a family. Some of you are very young, while some of us are not so young. Amen. We're also very different. And all of that diversity is just so healthy and it's good. It's great. And what that means is that we all have something to contribute in helping us carry out our big purpose to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. My third comment is this. I urge everybody here in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, to shine for Jesus in the way you go about your life. whoever you are. Shine for Jesus. Shine for Jesus when you're at home. Shine for Jesus when you're not at home. And we shine for Jesus by living with hope.
Amen.
Not only do we not do moody here at Real Life Church, but we don't do moody in our workplace. We're shining for Jesus. We shine for Jesus by embracing and enjoying life. When somebody says, "What did you do on your weekend?" Don't go, "Oh, I had to go to church." I went to church. Praise God. You know, whatever you do, enjoy life. We shine for Jesus by being generous with our smiles. You know, I say this a lot, but even ugly people look better when they smile. Amen. That's all. On three, let's practice together. You ready? One, two, three. Okay, that was a bit weird, wasn't it? And we're generous with our acts of kindness. We shine for Jesus by caring for people. We shine for Jesus by, here's a big one, we shine for Jesus by being people of integrity. If your starting time at work is at 8 o'clock, don't show up at 5 past 8. We're people of integrity. You're stealing from your boss when you roll up late, by the way. We shine for Jesus by being people of integrity. And when the opportunities come where we can talk about Jesus, we seize them and we keep the message about Jesus simple. We keep it easy to understand. Listen, we don't argue with people. We show respect to those that have a different worldview. But we never give up shining for Jesus in this dark and needy world. Amen? So in conclusion, we're in the same family. We're in the same tribe. We're spending eternity together. Amen? So let's jealously, everybody, Real Life Church, let's guard unity. Let's guard respect for each other. For we want more grace. We want more fruitfulness. And we desperately need more of the mighty blessings of God. And let's stay the course. Let's not go to the left or the right. Let's stay the course. Let's stay true to the calling upon our lives and upon our church. And our big purpose is to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they might become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. That's it. That's it today. Come on, everybody. Let's stand on our feet. Now, we're going to finish with Glorious Day. But ladies and gentlemen, I just got a prayer that we prayed a while ago when we first came into this building. Is everybody okay if I just pray it again? Could you just lift your hands to the Lord? Okay. You might want to lift your hands that way because it's a little bit of a long prayer and you might get too tired if you like that. Put your hand. Okay, here we go. Lift your hands to the Lord. Just close your eyes. It's been a good service. Spirit of God is here. But you're going to step out into a busy world, and I just pray blessing upon you. You're going to have a great week, shining for Jesus. But this is the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your power, your mercy, and your amazing grace. You are our awesome God. We thank you that you planned for us to become Real Life Church before the world was even made. You are the one who has joined us all together from different nations of the world. And we thank you for the divine provision of this wonderful facility here in Lissaman Street, Gosnells. And we know that you do not dwell in buildings, but you dwell in the hearts of your people. Nevertheless, we know that you plan for us to take ownership of this building so it could be used as a tool in your hand to bring the life of Jesus Christ to this region of Perth. You've also given us this building to be a sacred place of congregational worship to you. So we, the people of Real Life Church, this birthday time, once again, dedicate this facility back to you. We pray in the name of Jesus that this facility in Real Life Church will be a place of salvation for the lost, a place of forgiveness for the sinner, a place of healing for the sick, a place of deliverance for the captive, a place of comfort for the brokenhearted, a place of peace for the anxious, a place of miracles for the needy, a place of strength for the weak, a place of the Holy Spirit for the thirsty, a place of love for the rejected, a place of hope for the hopeless, and a place of wisdom for the confused. We pray that in this place, thousands of people will be born again and become disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray that in this place, millions of dollars will be raised for the cause of world missions. We pray that in this place, lives will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray upon Real Life Church, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders. We pray in this place that the Word of God will be taught and preached clearly with power. We pray that this place will become too small and that extra properties will be purchased. We also pray for the future generations of Real Life Church. We pray that future generations will always be true to you and will always remember that this building is to be used for the glory of God. And Father, we not only dedicate this building to you, but we also dedicate ourselves to you this birthday time. We surrender our will, we surrender our ambitions, and we surrender our hearts to you. In these days before you return, we want our lives to burn with holy passion for your name. So we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over our lives and over our facility. And we thank you for the last 20 years in Jesus' name. Amen.